we have talked about developer overload for a while now, and we talked about the focus, we talked about organization, but Corey, I know something that there's a piece of this pie we still haven't covered, and I think it's nearer and dearer to your heart as someone who is not a developer and can give us kind of a unique perspective. As a developer growing up, I neglected my health. and I could afford to. And it came back and bit me in the butt a couple of years ago. Since then, it's been better. I've gotten better worked out. And to my surprise, it didn't really affect my development skills or process that dramatically once I worked diet and exercise into it. But let's start with physical, because I think that's... I don't know what your past has been with any physical routines that you do. Some people can, my sister can do no exercise and she's as thin as a stick. So some people are just fortunate, I guess. But the biggest change I had to do for me, was nutrition. I was eating crap. So, and it was just because I was overstressed. So I'm a stress eater. And it was just lack of time. It's like, why should I bother creating or, you know, going to the store, getting these things, cooking a good nutritious dinner when I could be using that time to program 30 more minutes or an hour? That was my problem. That's something I needed to overcome. And when it comes to stress and overload, we talk about health because I don't think many developers recognize the impact it has on your thinking process, on your stress levels. You think you're getting more done by cramming a burger delivered by some random shop into your mouth, but long term, that's not the case. You are, what's the expression? You're shortchanging yourself. You're eventually going to write checks that your body's not going to be able to cash. What's your experience with nutrition, rest, and long term health?
Well, I wanted to back up because by the way, I want to say you've had a renaissance. Like, I've known you for a long time, and David, you're such a great example to be talking about this, because I've seen, heard, and read about your renaissance and your transformation. It's funny because I know sometimes you'll chat us at like really early in the morning. You're on East Coast time and I'm on Central, but it's even earlier, but you'll be like, yeah, I was thinking about this on my run. And I was like, well done. I think it's inspiring to see someone that has stuck with it too, that has taken your personal health, physical, mental, all those very, very seriously and done that. So I just wanted to say that's, you continue to be a great inspiration for me, and I know a bunch of others. So, on the physical health side, you know, for the longest time, I'll say I have prioritized my mental health, I think, over my physical health, until I stubbornly had to come to the realization of like, it's all the same thing. I have to take care of my brain. I want to take care and listen to and manage and understand my emotions. And that, you know, when I was 30 years old, working on stuff in the wicker chair and my kitchen table doing freelance web design, that, you know, my back hurt the next day. Okay, now at 45, it hurts a lot more. Like, I've got to take care of my physical health.
You're only 1 year older than me, so we're both in the same boat. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I knew I had to take it's this thing, you know how it is, David? It's like, it's in my mind. I know it's there. Now I got to practice it. A couple years ago, I started this run walk thing I call RuWalk, and just because I didn't like to run, and I've never really ran like 15 straight minutes or anything like that. I run walk, and I just find my version of self-care, physical exercise. And so I bought a bike, and I just had my second ride with one of my best friends in the world and former colleague at iThemes, Matt Danner. On Wednesday, we do a little trail riding, and I try to keep up with him, and it's a blast. But that's another way I try to get an outlet with my exercise. I've said for a long time when I had toddlers like you do that it's like part of it was – trying to keep up with them, but it's one of those things. I'll just say, I know it in my head, and I don't always practice it, but I'm working on it. I'm a continual work in progress there, and just trying to add really good habits to what I do.
Rest is also a big one. Typically, a lot of developers are night people. That's what I had to change too. I stayed up late. Then I'd be forced to wake up at a certain time every morning because I'm usually taking the kids to school. So it wasn't like I could adjust when I would wake up. I needed to wake up by a certain time. So if I stayed up late working on a project, I couldn't really make up that sleep until maybe the weekend I could, but there's usually something that came up. So, I mean, we won't, I think it's obvious by now with all the studies people have heard about that, like, definitely you need to get enough rest, enough sleep, which varies by person, but you don't think well without rest and sleep. And so you're as a developer, it's almost like compounding interest. It's almost like, you know, you don't get a lot of sleep. You have to stay up longer the following day to get as much work done, and then you're not getting enough sleep then. And there goes that overload again. So let's talk. You mentioned, you were going to say something, or you were going to fall asleep to demonstrate to me how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sleep's the other thing. It's like we all say, I've got an Aura ring that Dr. Sherry Walling was talking to me about, this Aura ring. It's just different. I've got an Apple Watch. I've got all the little gadgets, but the Aura ring was interesting. Apple Watch, yes. Because I wanted to track my sleep, and the Apple Watch doesn't have the battery power I want right now to do all that. And you have to even install a separate app. But all that to say, I know it's important. I have this little ring and the watch and all that kind of stuff, but it's another thing. Know it in my head, need to practice it. Do I stay up too late? Yes. Do I wake up too early? Because my kiddos come in and say, Dad, it's time for this. It's yes. But I know that, I mean, sleep is a huge topic within well-being right now, and for good reason. It's a foundational part of well-being.
So my last point on sleep is, I hate it when people say, oh, this worked for me, you should try it. Well, sometimes that does work for people. I changed my routine completely. I went to bed earlier, but got up earlier. So as you know, I get up at 4, let's say I get up at 4 a.m. most days. Even if you're not planning on exercising at that time, and I do because I'm in Florida and I rather exercise or be outside when it's dark at the coolest possible time of the day. But even if you don't exercise, I recommend getting up earlier because you can control that part of your day. There is barely anybody awake. You can control what you're going to do. You can start off that day on a good note. Plus, you've got a lot, you've got sleep and you got rest to back you up. So you're not immediately waking up into problems and things you need to get to. I would give it a try. It took my body about maybe a week or two to get used to the routine. That's just my suggestion. And then usually your projects or your clients or that sort of thing, they're probably not going to be responsive late at night anyway. So try that routine, get a head start. You'll be up before other people. You can throw emails. I like sending emails at 4 o'clock in the morning. I like sending Slack messages. I'm trusting that people's notifications are turned to such a way where I don't disturb them. Get a head start. Get a jump start of the day with these thoughts you're throwing at people, and you're not doing it live. So they're like, why is this guy up at 4 a.m. in the morning? And then I can, you know, you don't have to worry about people immediately responding to you and causing further, you know, interruptions in your Slack or your emails. But we're taking a pause right now in this podcast to share with you a great sponsor that helps these podcasts keep running. And that great sponsor this week is Bluehost. Listen, no matter if your site is a blog or you're running a startup company or you want to share any successful story, you need a reliable hosting company. And Bluehost is a reliable hosting company. They get you started with an all-in-one website platform that's actually tailored to your specific needs. And what's also great is you can get a free domain name in your first year. What a great bargain. You also get, along with that, free 24/7 lifetime support and total design freedom. So check it out right now. Their amazing services packages. Go to postatus.com/Bluehost. You do a lot, Corey. You said you focused on your mental health. And I just wanted to take a pause on that for a second. When I had to deal with my stress levels, the biggest thing that I had to do was just simply learn how to take a break. That was mine. What is the biggest takeaway for you in terms of mental health that you can share, developer or not, you think?
100%, no questions asked. The top thing I would say is have a mental health licensed professional counselor on speed dial. It's not like every week necessarily or every month, but life will hit you in the face. It has me bunches of times. I'm not alone. Everybody hurts. And it's okay to ask for help. But when that those times come, you need to have, just like you would have a primary care, like I do, a physician, you need a mental health counselor on speed dial too. And here's the thing. Something's going to happen. You have a death in the family, a loss. I mean, just life happens. And you need to have someone that you can talk about. That I say, you don't have to say pass the cranberries at Thanksgiving dinner. Like, licensed, professional, trained person that can help you navigate some of life's tough things, what I call under the surface of the iceberg. So number one, and I have one, I've had four, I think, in total in the last 10 or 11 years. I had one for a very, very long time and one just about the last year and a half. And now I'm on, I'm actually trying to get an appointment with a new one. But I have counselors I can go to that know my story. So you don't have to go do all the intake. You don't have to do all the catch-up stuff, that at least knows my story. And at a minimum, my suggestion is once or twice a year, just like you would like a well check, like going in and get, you know, getting blood work or so, have a, just put in a standing appointment, make it around your birthday, and have an appointment with your therapist and counselor and just do a check-in. How's things going? Are you happy? Are you full of joy? Is there things dragging you down on a consistent basis? Number one thing I could say over and over, David, is, and I live this, I talk it and I practice it, I walk the walk, is having a therapist. Now, at the very moment you catch me at, I'm in between.
you one, burned through them.
And it, this is a great reminder to go find it. Well, here's the other deal. I'll just say plainly and openly, if you don't find the right fit with a counselor, then go to another one.
Mm-hmm. Well,
find another one. You don't have to stick with them. There's no, people think it's like, that's, you gotta,
not
like
bad on you,
not a contract. No. And they are supposed to be okay with that. Like, ethical, legally, licensure, they're trained to know it's okay. Like, that's part of the therapeutic relationship. It might not work out and you can move on. So there's my rant.
No, but that's good. But, and you know, let's assuming someone's listening right now, that's like, well, maybe I'm not willing to make that kind of commitment right now. I would just say, just have human interaction, even if it's over video with somebody. And that, if you're working on a team, I think when remote managers need to be aware and pay attention to their developers and their team members and be aware, first of all, what you're asking of them, like, how is it impacting them? Are you, especially when COVID started and everything, I know a lot of remote managers that, you know, would adjust the work levels because of the news and everything. But if you're not touching base with your developers or your team members, the managers, then you're not going to know if they're having a bad week. And sometimes they may never know if you're having a bad week. I could be having a bad week right now. I'm not necessarily talking about it. But I think regular check-ins, they're not licensed therapists. I think licensed therapists is an excellent idea. I saw what great effect it had on my father as I was growing up. Licensed therapist works great. But if it's a matter of cost or time or just, you know, personal feelings about it, just, you know, maybe reach out. You can reach out, but remote managers maybe can take that initiative too and have once a month one-on-one meetings or something like that, where it is about work, but you can ask a little bit what's comfortable to share about how they're feeling, how they're doing, what their stress levels are. And I think that's part of the job of being a manager, honestly. Mm-hmm. That's part of managing your team. But I think at the end of the day though, whatever you do, you don't ignore negative thoughts and depression. You don't, and you don't try to drown it out with more work. I tried that, and that's the worst possible thing you can do, because that made me my own worst enemy. And we can't always control the situation, but we can control our responses. So that takes practice, and that takes knowing what not to do and learning from others, because, you know, we can't have fun with our jobs, or we can't be excited about our jobs without a good level of physical and mental health. So I'm
totally true.
And we, you know, developers like to say, I like to say it's okay to break code, but it's not okay to break yourself. And that's where I'll end it.
That is the best way to. Well done. I'll just say epic boom.
Okay. Well, great. I'm hoping that these discussions about developer overload over the past few episodes have been helpful. We've been getting some good feedback on them. People like them. So we'll see what comes next.
Thanks, David.